All right, so you guys excited to be here today? Are you, you're sitting there right now, I just want you to think about your emotion. Is it like, oh, this is cool, so I'm really looking forward to hearing from God? Or is it more kind of like, okay, this is kind of the part of the service that I just hope doesn't go too long, and you know, we'll just get through this and put up with him for enough time and we'll be on the other side of it. And I imagine just when I asked if you're expecting to hear from God, you might have some conflicted thoughts with that, because on the one hand, you're like, yeah, that's kind of cool. I want to hear from God. And we come and we pray, right? Usually we have an opening prayer that says something to the effect of, God, speak to us. But are we really expecting God to speak to us? Or when I ask you guys, are you expecting to hear from God? I imagine that for some of you, you're like, well, no, I'm expecting to hear from you. Even though we pray that we'll hear from God, and I'm not God, I'll be the first to admit that. And so there's this kind of awkwardness, I think, of where we're not quite sure what we're doing. If we're really expecting to hear from God, or if we're just going to hear from a person. And I think this really affects all of church. I want to focus this morning on just the message, I guess. Hearing from God at our church meeting, but also just during worship. So we sing songs. Do we actually expect that God's listening to us, responding to us? Are we touching His heart? Is He touching our hearts? Is there something going on that's actually spiritual, meaningful? Or even in our conversations with one another, do we expect before and after church that other people are going to talk to us and maybe minister to us? Or that we're going to talk to them and minister to them. And, whew, that's the worst I've ever heard it. Maybe it's the power of the Spirit coming upon us. We want to hear from God, and there He is. That's awesome. So, let's just pray. God, we do just pray that You would speak to us here this morning. We come here with a desire to connect with You, but there's, I don't know, maybe some different ways of thinking that make it a little bit challenging for us, because we know that we can connect with You at any time. You could speak to us anytime throughout the day as we read the Bible on our own. And what difference does it make if we come to church? Does it really do anything for us or for You? God, we want to be here with faith. We want to hear from You. If You're speaking, we want to have that expectation. We want to stir our hearts. We want You to impact us. And so, God, I pray as we just think through this topic that You would help us. I pray that this message would have an impact on us, but I pray that every message we hear, every time we hear a pastor speak, every time we speak to one another, every time we open the Bible, every time we go to a small group meeting, that we would hear from You. And I thank You that You speak to us in many different ways. This is just one way of many, but God, I ask that You would use this way to speak to us, to touch our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? That's how God sees His word. He sees His word as being powerful, something that could break a rock. You don't normally think of a word, someone's communication, being able to break a rock. Or maybe it's talking like a heart of stone. And yet, this is God's expectation, is that His word is powerful and that it makes a difference to the degree that it could break a rock. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Do you believe that about God's word? That it's like a sword, and then it pierces, and then it goes into your heart. Sometimes maybe to meet a need, maybe to encourage you or comfort you, maybe to challenge you, maybe to stir you up, maybe to convict you of a sin. Maybe when you're down, to pick you up, to help you understand His love for you. Whatever it is, we should expect God's word to have an impact. It's like a sword. It's not like a pillow in a pillow fight that doesn't really do anything. God's word has impact. Isaiah 55:10 It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's saying, hey, when it rains, do you go outside and expect the ground to be dry? No, you expect rain to make a difference. It makes the ground wet and your lawn turns green and it has an impact and things get muddy and you don't expect it to do nothing. God's saying that that's the way His Word is when He speaks, that it has an impact. When His Word goes out from His mouth, it won't return to Him empty, but it will accomplish what He desires. It will actually do something. And so I see, man, God's Word is powerful. I would expect anywhere that God's Word is shared, that there would be an impact. Whether that's during a sermon at church, or as we share the Word with one another, or we're in a small group, or we're reading it on our own. Whenever God's Word goes out, I expect, man, that's a powerful thing. And I don't want to miss anything because I assume that God's doing something. I want to make sure that I hear what God has for me. And so I want to just talk about how we can make the most of hearing God's Word, specifically here at church. The first thing is to listen with faith. I think we really need to be careful when we come to church that we come with faith. Faith that God is going to use the message. Faith that God is going to use the worship. Faith that God is going to use the fellowship. Otherwise, it's just an event. It's not really any different than going grocery shopping or just getting something else that you go to and then you're done and it's over with. In faith, we need to believe that God is actually using these times. You talk about some specific areas of faith. One is just that faith that God is speaking through spiritual leaders. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So if anyone speaks, they're supposed to speak as one speaking the very words of God. As a pastor, that's kind of a heavy thing. That when I come up here and I share a message, that I'm supposed to speak as if I'm speaking God's words. I think about all the different life-giving churches in El Paso and all the different pastors. And they know this verse, they're familiar with it, and they feel the same responsibility. And I imagine them through the week as they just are reading the scripture, they're studying, and they're thinking, man, this is a heavy responsibility you've put on me, God. And I want to be really careful that what I say is true and accurate. And so they're studying scripture, and they're trying to make sure that what they believe is true and right, that it matches what God says. And then at some point during the week, they're crying out, it's like, God, give me what's on your heart. What do you want to say to this group of people? And maybe they're even looking at the group of people and they're like, okay, God, this is who we are. This is what we're struggling with. What do you want me to share that would be helpful for us? Maybe they would look at their congregation and say, oh, you know, we have a lot of infighting right now, just people quarreling and bickering over nothing. And so they're going to speak on unity, loving one another. Maybe they have a lot of people just who aren't really familiar with the path to God. And so maybe the pastor would speak just on the basics of how Jesus came down to the earth and lived among us and went to the cross for us to pay for our sin so that we could have eternal life by putting our faith in Him. Or maybe they have a church full of people who are just really legalistic and they're experiencing a lot of guilt and shame, and maybe they need to understand the news of what Jesus did and how that relates to them in their Christian life. They need to realize that they can walk in freedom and grace because when Jesus went to the cross for their sins, that it paid for all their sins. All the ones they're committing now, all the future ones, that there would be this joy that would fill their life. And so there are so many different things that a pastor could speak on, and all these pastors in these life-giving churches are wrestling through this. Like, I want to share what's on God's heart. And meanwhile, there's a young man whose alarm goes off. And it's going off for the 10th time, and he smacks it, and he's laying there thinking, oh, I shouldn't have stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games and watching movies. I'm so tired. I should go to church. I'm not going to get anything anyway. You know what I really need? I need some sleep. I'm going to go back to sleep. And so there's this disparity there where you have one person who's like, oh, I'm really trusting that there's going to be something from God for these people. And then you have this guy that's like, yeah, I'm probably not going to get anything. I didn't get anything last week. Probably won't get anything this week. I think I'm going to go back to bed. It's like, man, we need to be careful. We need to be careful to be open to hear what God says to us, and just to exercise faith, to believe that God actually wants to speak to us. In this verse, it says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Okay, if that's how we're supposed to speak, how are we supposed to listen? Should we listen as if we're hearing the very words of God? It's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, that's weird for me to say that as a pastor. I've been in churches before where there's kind of this icky flavor of the pastor being elevated too much. And you almost get that flavor like his word is God's word. Like whatever he says goes. And people will quote the pastor kind of like they're sharing something straight out of the Bible. And that's not where I'm going with this. That's not what I'm talking about. But still, shouldn't we be able to sit there in faith and say, okay, in faith, I believe that God is communicating something through this pastor, that there's at least something in here that's for me, especially as he's sharing scripture. We looked at those verses on scriptures. There's something here that's actually for me from God. I think we should believe that. I think in faith we should believe that. I think we should have faith that God has appointed shepherds who are seeking God and hope to care for their flocks. We live in an interesting age when you could be sitting at home right now listening to any number of preachers on the web. You could listen to Ravi Zacharias. He's very intellectual, way, way above my intellectual ability. I mean, he is so smart. And you could be listening to him. You could listen to Francis Chan. He's funny and he's convicting and he lives the word. And I really enjoy listening to Francis Chan, but you're sitting here listening to me. And why is that? Why not just listen to the best speakers? Well, I believe that God has set up his church so that each church would have a shepherd, a pastor, someone who knows that flock, that group of people, who would care for that group of people. And so I'll freely admit there are a lot of people who can give a better message than I can. But for whatever reason, God has made me one of the shepherds of this particular church. In Acts 20:28, it says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. He's talking to a group of pastors there. He says, keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over your fellow pastors and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So God is saying to these pastors, saying, hey, you know, you need to keep watch over one another and your flock. Your flock that God made you an overseer of. Okay, so it seems like pastors should have this mindset of God has made them a shepherd, which is the same word as a pastor. God's made them a pastor over a particular flock, that they're an overseer of this flock, and that's a responsibility that they should be careful to care for their flock. And that makes sense, I guess. But it's kind of weird if you think about it from the flock perspective, right? Of that there's this person who is an overseer over your life. I mean, that's the word that's used there. That's, wow. That's weird in today's Christianity, isn't it? To think of it in that way, because a lot of times we just kind of go from church to church, and you have a church you enjoy, but not necessarily a church that you're a part of, and you feel like, yeah, this is my flock. And there's a pastor that you maybe enjoy listening to, or you at least put up with, or whatever, but not necessarily that this is my pastor, that this is someone who's shepherding my life. And that makes sense, you know, when you first visit a church, that the pastor who's speaking is not your shepherd. But it's pretty easy for us to go to the same church for 3 years or 5 years, and you'll never feel like the Holy Spirit has made that person a spiritual leader in your life. And yet, that's God's plan. God's plan would be that each church would have a shepherd who God appointed to oversee that, not just oversee that church, but oversee those people, that flock. And so I think in faith we can believe that, well, God's going to use our shepherds to speak to us and to bring a message that's not just a good message, but that's a message actually for us. In faith, I think we can believe that. And when we go to small group, I think in faith we can believe that there's going to be something there for us. I think we can also have faith that God wants to bring good into our lives through the teachings that we hear. One time I gave a message at church. We were in a series on marriage, and there was a message on intimacy within marriage. And I was just talking about how, you know, it's a good thing. It's part of God's plan. This is His design, and it's normal, and it's healthy, and kind of, praise God, He's pretty cool. And there was a couple there at the church who really had some problems in this area of their life, and part of it was because the wife had some, just, I don't know, she saw that area of their lives as being kind of gross and dirty and sinful. And when she heard what the Bible said about that area, it really freed her up. And she's like, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. And God used that message to completely change that part of their lives. And within a week, things were different. Do you believe that God wants good in your life? Do you believe that God could bring a message to you that's actually for your good? Or is it, oh, I go to church and I feel bad every time I go. Sometimes God brings good by helping us see what we need to change. And we might view that as bad. But God loves us. He has a heart for us. He wants to bring good into our lives, just like a parent wants to bring good into their kids' lives. Not that life is always rosy, but He has the heart of a father toward us. He wants us to experience good. Another time I gave a message related, I guess, kind of to marriage. It was actually on adultery. And I was just talking about how, you know, I had just seen so many people fall in that area. And I personally known a few people. Used to keep track. I think there's about a dozen people I know personally who've fallen in that area. Some were spiritual leaders. I've seen different nationally known leaders fall as well. And I look at that, and it's kind of scary because, near as I can tell, these are people who really love God and people who seem to be more spiritual than me, people who know the Word better, are doing greater things for God. And I look at them, it's like, wow, if they fell, what chance do I have? And in that message, I was just talking about I need to be alert and think, okay, unless I go down a different path, unless I'm very careful to go down a different path, I'm going to fall into the same sin as these other people. And so I was sharing this, and I know for a fact there were two different people. I talked to them individually, a man and a woman, and they were sitting in that audience, listening to that message, and they were a little judgmental, like, wow, Steve, I think you'd be stronger than that, because, you know, you shouldn't have to worry about falling into that sin, because you're a mature Christian. I'm a mature Christian. I can't ever see myself falling into that sin. So, you know, you should be stronger and tougher, and I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but within a week or two, they had an affair with each other. And I look back at that, and I think, oh, I think that message was for them. I think God wanted to say something to them. And individually, they sat there and thought, this message is not for me. And I think God wanted to bring good into their lives. God wanted to spare them of all the brokenness and the hardship that would come into their lives as a result of the affairs that they had. God's a good God. It was so kind of Him to give them that chance right before they fell. And in His grace, they made it through it, and there was forgiveness and healing. Still, God wanted to spare them of all that brokenness. There's a great example of God bringing good in Acts 2. Because when the people heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart and said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter is preaching to a crowd of people, and it's a pretty awesome message. He's basically saying to them, "Hey, you guys killed Jesus. You guys killed the author of life." And he's sharing this message, and they're cut to the core. They're like, "Oh man, we're in trouble." And they call out to Peter and to the other apostles, and they're like, "Oh brothers, we're in deep trouble. What should we do?" And Peter says, "Well, you need to repent. You need to turn. And then you need to get baptized." And 3,000 people became Christians that day. 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I look at that, it's like, wow, that's really cool. God brought good into their lives. These people who had committed this horrible sin of putting Jesus on the cross. And they found forgiveness and hope and a new life. In part, through this message that was shared. You see how God wanted to bring good into their lives through that message. I think, man, that's really cool. I think we should have that same expectation. God wants to bring good into our lives through what he's saying to us. I think we need to look for application. It's really easy for us to look to listen, I guess, to get more information, more knowledge. I think we really need to work to apply what we learn so that we're not just growing in our level of information, but we're actually applying these things to our lives and changing. And then I think we really get the most out of the things that God's trying to say to us. Beware of listening just to be flattered. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." One of the dangers in this world is that oftentimes we don't go to the Bible to find out about God and to find out how God thinks and how we should think. What we do is we start from our own knowledge base and we take our experiences, our group of friends, the TV shows we've watched, the books we've read, and maybe, you know, some sermons mixed in there and some of the Bible reading, some good things as well. But we take all of that, we form this opinion of God. And then we can go out and find someone who agrees with us. You can find a pastor who will agree with you or some particular religion that will teach something pretty similar to what you're thinking. Certainly find a book. And so the temptation is to not go to God, but to just look around and try to find someone who lines up with what we already think. We kind of get our ears tickled in that way. And of course, it's a very dangerous way of thinking, but boy, we're really prone to that. We need to be careful that we don't put ourselves in those situations. You know, we can take something like judgment and say, "Well, I don't think God should judge people. I don't like the idea of judgment. Who does?" But God does judge. And we want to be careful that we listen to him and what he says and not just impose our ideas of what he should be like on him. We can maybe think of this verse maybe related to kind of the prosperity gospel churches. And that would be the idea of, hey, if you go to church and if you follow God, then he wants to bless you and make you rich and you'll never get sick and things like that. And that would be one form of kind of having our ears tickled. But I think another thing we can lean toward is intellectualism. We can go to church to grow in our knowledge. And we can even look for a church that will help us grow in knowledge because that makes us look smarter. It's a way of having our ears tickled, a way of flattering ourselves. We look smarter. We're around smarter people. Instead, we want to be careful that we're looking to apply. Nothing against growing in knowledge, but that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus should be application. We need to be prepared to hear from God. I know for me, when I go to a conference where I'm listening to some other speaker, it's just really easy to kind of sit down and the speaker goes up and stands up on stage and I kind of cross my arms. I'm like, "All right, give me your best shot." You know, kind of just see if you can get through my hard heart here or entertain me. Let's see how you can perform. And I really want to be careful not to do that. And I want to be careful to go with a learner's heart. of, I want to hear from God. I hope that you'll be funny, and I hope you'll be interesting, and I hope you don't go too long. But I want to hear from God. And to do that, I really have to focus and take notes and think about it. And that can be a real challenge. But I want to go with faith of God's going to say something to me. God's speaking to me. And I go to church every week because I'm a pastor. But before I was a pastor, I went to church every week because I wanted to hear from God. I expected to hear from God. I think about, like, with our youth group. You know, when I prepare our youth group messages, I think back to when I was in junior high and in high school, and just, man, all the guilt I dealt with and just the doubts and sin that was in my life. And think of all the stuff that I faced in the next just few years, at high school and early college. It's like, man, I really want to help equip our teens for those years. And so that's my mindset when I'm preparing. And then when someone misses youth group, I think, oh, this could have been the one time that would really change their life. This could have been the one message that would really make a difference. And it's kind of heartbreaking sometimes. So I want to send my kids with an expectation that they'll hear from God. It's like, oh, I'm really busy. Is it okay if I stay home? No, I don't explain that reasoning, but that's what I'm thinking is I want to keep putting you guys in those spots to hear from God. Proverbs 22:17 says, pay attention, listen to the sayings of the wise, apply to your heart what I teach. There are a bunch of verses that are similar to this. Pay attention. I want to be careful to listen for God. Just practically, is there one thing that God is saying to you? Sometimes I'll go to a conference and there'll be a speaker who doesn't connect with me very well. And I understand, it might seem funny me saying that, but I understand I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, but I also know that I'm not the worst. And sometimes I'll go to a conference and I'll be listening, I'm really trying to pay attention. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're trying to say. It's like, you are not connecting with me at all. And you know what? I still sit there and I try to take notes and listen. It's like, okay, there's something in here for me. And I'm not a note taker type of guy, but I go back through. It's like, okay, there must have been something here. I didn't understand what his point was, but oh, he did say this one thing. Maybe that's what God wanted me to get. And so just practically, I try to get one thing that I feel like God was trying to say to me. About 8 or 9 days ago, I was working on this message to share it on the other side. And just in my personal Bible reading, I was reading through the book of Acts. And I was reading through Acts 6 and 7. It's the story of Stephen. When Stephen gets stoned, Stephen was a deacon or kind of a servant in their church, one of their leaders. And he fell out of favor with the other spiritual leaders there, not the good guys, not the Christian guys, but their opponents. And so they wanted to kill him. And basically, in his defense, he gave a little sermon. And so he gives a sermon. As you read through it, you can read through it on your own, but he goes through all this Old Testament history. And I remember I used to read it like, what is he doing? Like, who cares about all this Old Testament history right now? They're going to kill you. And he goes through all this Old Testament history, and then he looks at him and he says, you ignorant and stiff-necked people. Probably not something you should say to people who are getting ready to stone you. As you ignorant, stiff-necked people, you're just like your ancestors. That's why he told the whole story. These are your ancestors. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say how their ancestors had killed all the prophets who had brought them the message from God. And so it's a pretty ironic thing because he's saying, whenever God has a message for you, you kill the messenger. And instead of them going like, oh yeah, we never really thought about that. What do? They kill him. Anyway, that wasn't really my point in sharing that. I read through that, and as they're stoning him, I mean, think about stoning. You guys know what that is, right? So they used to just take somebody and you put them in a circle. I don't know if they use circles because then people on the edges might get hit, but it takes me and you start throwing rocks at them. And they're throwing rocks to kill the guy, to knock him out. And they're throwing rocks at him, and what's he do? He says, Father, forgive them. And I read that, and I thought, That would not even cross my mind. I don't love people like that. And yet, that's what Jesus said on the cross too, isn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I'm like, wow, I really need to grow in my love for people. And that was the one thing that God gave me. I read through, I don't know, I probably read 4 or 5 chapters that morning, maybe more. And I saw that. It's like, okay, this is what God's saying to me today. Now, I don't get something every single day that's like that. I probably don't get something from every single message I listen to, every sermon. But I want to go with that expectant heart. Certainly, there's one thing here for me. And when I think about a response, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Pretty much every sermon you ever listen to will have some kind of an application. Most pastors will strive to do that. Okay, we listen to this sermon and here's what we can do. And the hard thing is, from a pastor's perspective, is that's where it can kind of have that feel of, okay, every week, well, here's one more thing you're not doing, and here's another one, and another one, and another one. So that's the hard part of that. But if we're expecting to hear from God, we'd hope there'd be something we could apply. And so even this morning, just as you think about this message, I think it's easy to say, well, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I never really thought about that before, and just thought about pastor's message being a message from God, and that's intellectually interesting a little bit, I hope. But is there a response? Is there anything that will be different next week? So what would a response be? What's something you could actually do? That's hard, isn't it? Because we're not used to thinking in those terms. Well, I guess a response would be, maybe you could take notes. Jesus was giving a message. If I really thought I was hearing from God, I'd be like, wow, that's kind of serious. I should write some of that down. Maybe you could just shoot for that. I'm going to try to apply one thing. I'm just looking for one thing. That would be a practical thing to look for. Maybe just, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at church every week because I'm going to go with an expectant heart that God wants to say something to me. Or maybe it's even just, yeah, I'm really going to start believing that God has good. As I hear a message from God, to believe that God has my good in mind and not that he's just always trying to kind of put it to me. Those are just practical things to believe. And so, just big picture, I want us to believe, to have faith that God is trying to speak to us, that God is communicating to us. Because that allows us to have life. And then that allows us to bring life to our world. But if you cut off God and say, I don't believe God's bringing me life, you've got nothing. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would just help us to find this balance of, I guess, being careful to not believe everything, but still to have this expectation that you're speaking to us. I think of the Bereans in Acts 17:11 and how they went back and they double-checked everything that Paul was saying to make sure it was really true. And that's good and that's healthy. We want to have that heart. But I also pray that we wouldn't just always kind of be skeptical and, oh, I'm not sure what I think of this and I'm not sure what I think of that, but that we could just come before you and listen to you, hear from you. We could believe that you speak to us in many different ways. Sometimes maybe in a dream. Sometimes you put something heavy on our heart. Sometimes we read something in the Bible. Sometimes there's a song that we sing. Sometimes a preacher says something. Sometimes a friend says something. You speak to us in all kinds of different ways. God, help us to see that and to see you at work and to recognize that that's you when it is you. God, I pray that you would speak good into our lives. That would help us to enjoy you and thrive and then to have something to offer others. So we love you and thank you for this time here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.